I've got a friend of mine who's a huge Yankee fan. He's kind of loved them forever. And he's got an office in his house. He works out of his home most of the week, so he's got an office down in the basement, which is filled with Yankee memorabilia. It's like a shrine to the Yankees. So as a Met fan, I must admit it's not an easy place to visit. But I gotta admit this too. It's got some really, really cool stuff. It's a fun place to kind of just roam around and investigate. He's got all kinds of Yankee stuff. He's got some great pictures, framed photos from kind of forever, going way back. My favorite, the one I thought was kind of the coolest, was one I'd never seen this picture. It was with Lou Gehrig. And it must have been the 1930s. And he's with this group of kids. And he's playing baseball with them. Some kind of like sandlot field in the city. And you can tell, at least I think he can tell, like it looked like it must have been a spontaneous thing. He must have been driving by or something, because he's wearing like dress pants, dress shoes, and he's in a t-shirt. So I suspect like he had a suit on, took off his shirt and tie and jacket in order to be more able to kind of throw the ball around with these kids. It's a great shot. He's helping this particular kid with his batting, looks like with his batting stance. I remember watching this video of Michael Jordan playing basketball with a group of kids in Chicago. This must have been the early 90s. He's not even really playing with them. He's kind of coaching them. In fact, you can hear him at one point. It's very little tough to hear, but he's showing these kids, explaining how to do a layup. Imagine that. Imagine having been there. Baseball and Lou Gehrig, basketball and Michael Jordan. To have the opportunity to listen to these guys, learn from them, watch them from the best. And I think, in a way, this gospel this morning, it kind of like an unusual version of that whole dynamic, sitting in the company of the best, listening to the best. You got Michael Jordan talking layups, you got Lou Gehrig talking hitting, and you get Jesus talking to the Father. Jesus at prayer. This happened on Holy Thursday night. So after he washed the feet of the apostles, after the Last Supper, he knows what's coming. Good Friday is around the corner. He knows more or less what that's going to look like and feel like. So he's praying. And we get to be flies on his wall. In this incredibly important moment in his life, what's he pray about? What's the prayer look like? Well, we know. We just heard it. It's like Lou Gehrig teaching you how to hit a baseball. What did the best say about prayer? What's he praying for? He's praying for us. I mean, a little more specifically, it was the apostles, because he's thinking about them after he's gone. Maybe he was worried, maybe he was concerned that they got it all, that they took it all in, that they'd embrace their own crosses. that they'd accept the mission. But the prayer is real simple. It's like, God, keep them safe. Protect them. I mean, what parent hasn't said that prayer a gazillion times? Man, just keep them safe. Just protect them. The first night they got the car, the first time you finally let them take the car out on their own with their friends. I mean, wasn't that the prayer? Isn't that the prayer? Yeah, just keep them safe. But then he goes further with it. But he says, keep them safe, but I'm not asking you to smother them. I'm not asking you to take them out of danger, away from the world. In fact, he's like, send them in. Somebody's got to take my place because my hours are numbered. So they got to go. I know they got to go, but just keep them safe as they go. I mean, isn't it that kind of balance that parents, probably more than anybody, they try to strike the balance. You want them safe at all costs, but you also know that you got to let them go. You can't just smother them. You can't just cling to them forever. I mean, that'll keep them safe, I guess, on one level. It'll also screw them up on a larger level. So it's this, like, I got to let them go, but man, I hope they make right decisions. I hope they're smart. So that's the first prayer. Keep them safe on the mission. And if he's praying to them, if he's praying for them, well, we're them. We're the extension of the apostles, right? So that's his prayer for us. And then the second piece is just bless them. Consecrate them, he says, in the truth. Let them know what's true. Let them hear God's truth. I mean, we should run with this prayer, not run from it. We should grab it, wrap our arms around it, and make it ours. If the one who was the best prayed these petitions, we should be doing the same thing. It's Michael Jordan showing a kid how to do a layup. Watch what he says. Listen to what he says. Watch what he's doing, and then do it. So same thing with this whole prayer notion. So what does that mean? Okay, like, yeah, pray for safety, pray for protection, pray for the right balance, because they got to go. Like, the mission's got to happen. And just wrap them, consecrate them in God's truth. How do we take those two or three petitions and apply them to ourselves? I saw this video. It was interesting. It was about this guy who died of a drug overdose. He had been addicted to opioids for 6 or 7 years. He was in and out of rehab multiple times. He was about 30 when he died. He was a great athlete. He played college lacrosse. After college, he got a very good job, but continued to play lacrosse on the side. He got hurt and blew out his knee or something, and required surgery because of that. It was sort of a botched surgery. So I think he had to have two more surgeries to kind of correct the original. He was overprescribed painkillers. Couldn't get off them. And ultimately overdosed. I mean, I've had probably 8 or 9 or 10 funerals down here that are pretty much that story, more or less a version of that. It's heartbreaking stuff. Anyway, they organized, this guy's friends organized a golf outing in his memory about a year later. And they asked his father if he would say a few words at the dinner after the outing. Apparently, the father gave a great eulogy at the funeral. So they asked him to speak again about their friend, his son. And this is where the video kicks in. The video is this guy's speech. I don't know, 150 people maybe at this golf club, wherever they were. Well, this was very different, I'm told, or it was explained prior to this. His speech was very different than his eulogy. The eulogy was a total tribute to his son. In this talk, he talked about his son, but he talked more about himself and his regrets. And it's really a warning to everybody else who was there and listening. He talked a lot about his son's athletic gifts. They were undeniable. This guy was just a natural, not just lacrosse, but that's really where he excelled most. He said how, explained that when he was a sophomore in high school, he went on a camp, a lacrosse camp, and he loved it, and they loved him, the staff. So they asked him if he would work the camp the following summer, which would have been his junior year. The camp was out of state, and it was pretty much all summer long, so that was going to mean this kid would be living away all summer, his junior year. The father said he was just too young. He was too young to be living away from home. He'd be living with college kids. He was the only high school age kid who had been invited to work this camp. So he'd be like, he said he wasn't even yet 17. He was just shy of 17. He'd be 17 living with, working with a bunch of college lacrosse players. And he knew he shouldn't let him go. But they did. And he was very honest. He gave the reasons why he and his wife let him go. Number one, he really wanted to. He really wanted it. And they didn't want to say no. They didn't want to deal with the fallout of no. And he said he was also flattered by it, the father. He was proud of the fact that his high school kid was being asked to work this college job. The father loved lacrosse. And he said the final reason was he was the oldest. So this was all uncharted territory. When do you let him go? When do you say no? He said they had a couple more kids after. He said they were a whole lot better with them than they were with the first. That kind of makes sense, right? Well, he said those reasons, especially the first two, just trumped the fact that he was 17 years old and shouldn't have been doing that. And because they let him go, he said he grew up way too soon, way too fast. And he made some big mistakes along the way that they were aware of. And he said there were probably a lot more than that that they never found out about. He said he lost touch with all of his high school friends because junior, senior summer, he worked it the following summer. He worked it for six summers, 4 years of college. So he really lost touch with his friends from home. And then he also talked in this speech about faith and his family's experience of faith and church. I don't know if they were Catholic or not, certainly Christian. And he was saying how faith was important. Church was important to this family. Like they really did practice their faith. Until lacrosse took over. He said those summers in high school, during camp, the kid never saw church. The 4 years of college, he never saw church. So for 6 years of his life, like, faith kind of disappeared. And then he talked about his struggles with addiction and how, in retrospect, man, faith could have been a real factor. Faith could have helped in the fight against this horrendous addiction. And he was very realistic. He said, I'm not saying faith would just conquer addiction. But he said, faith afforded hope. And he said, I think my son became increasingly hopeless. It wasn't suicide, but he was hopeless. And he looked back on it and he said, had they nurtured faith during those years, maybe we wouldn't be at a golf outing. It was a very powerful talk. He said, I let him go. I let him go too soon. For all the wrong reasons. His own ego, fear of his kid, fear of disapproval, ego, pride, fear. Man, when they rule the day, it's never a good day, right? We're always walking around with regret when the likes of fear, ego, and pride win out. And then he said, you know what? I allowed lacrosse to become his religion. It wasn't an explicit thing. It just happened. He let him become lacrosse's disciple. That became most important in this kid's life. And it's never most important. Not irrelevant, just never most important. There's one thing that is most important. And when we can conquer, when we make peace with that, life is better. You know, it was strange. This guy's talk was almost like the opposite of Jesus' prayer. Jesus is saying, keep them safe. This father said he didn't. Jesus is saying, consecrate them to God. This guy was like, man, I consecrated my kid to lacrosse. Every step along the way, he was like, I screwed it up. I did the opposite. Now, he never referenced this prayer. Maybe he missed that prayer. Maybe he was at a tournament. Maybe it was a travel team and they weren't able to get to Mass for, like, I don't know, 6 years. And because of that, he never heard the prayer. He never heard, you gotta protect them. You gotta let them go, but not without knowledge of God and his truth. Maybe he just missed that. And because of that, he's at his son's golf outing. This is an important prayer. It has to be, right? Jesus prayed it. Jesus spoke it. And we get to hear it. So what do we do with it in our lives? Man, I think, you know, on a day when we, you know, in a particular way, remember moms, the ones who protected us, the ones who struck that balance, right, I gotta let him go. but not too soon, and not for the wrong reasons. Can't be about me. It's got to be selfless. And I got to wrap their whole lives, I got to consecrate their whole lives in the truth of Christ, so that when they do go, they're armed and they're prepared. Doesn't mean they're going to bat 1,000, but they'll be ready. So it's a prayer to consider. How are we doing with it? You know, that Michael Jordan video and the Lou Gehrig photo was interesting. If you watch both of them, in both images, well, they're both completely surrounded by kids for obvious reasons. And if you look at them, if you look at the still photo and if you look at the kids in the video, they are so focused. They are so attentive. They are so dialed in to what these two bests were talking about. They were so glued to their words because they were the best. Let's be that glued to him, his words, in his way, to our best.